And welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm with Shireen Chadha this evening. And we're talking about being in the pursuit of happiness. Is it something to pursue? Let's talk about it. So this week, thinking about this, I was talking to a friend about positivity. And he said, you know, I tried that positive stuff, and it just didn't feel natural. It started me thinking, maybe there are happiness habits that we have. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yes, it's funny, actually. You should say positivity. It doesn't seem natural, because I feel happiness is actually an intrinsic state of being for every human being.
Ah, so if we're not feeling happiness, it means we're creating disharmony somehow. Is that
right? Right.
Is that the piece?
Because we were born to be happy. Mm-hmm. We really were born to be happy, and that's our innate nature.
So, yeah, like babies.
Right.
Typically. Now, they'll cry when they're uncomfortable, but the moment that the discomfort's gone, they're not saying, you know, I was really uncomfortable. They're out of it again.
Right.
So, does that mean that unhappiness might be some habits that we learned along the way?
Yeah, definitely. I feel there are two things that, habits that make us unhappy. One is that if I'm going after any physical object or a human being, because my happiness cannot be based on illusions. So if they change, then my happiness changes. For example, just last week I was listening to a story, and this every week I hear a story like this, is they've been married for so many years, and the husband is cheating on the wife, and the wife is totally heartbroken, they have to break up a marriage, and she's totally unhappy. And so I was thinking, and I actually was feeling very happy that my life doesn't depend on anyone else cheating or not cheating. So it's very good. But also there is, I'm not just joking about this, but there is an underlying message in here, is that if my happiness depends on what other person is going to do or not do, then it's always on shaky ground. Or if my happiness depends on if I'm going to get a physical object or not get a physical object, again, it's on shaky ground.
So in some ways, I'm hearing the attachedness to the needing of something.
Or someone.
Or someone. Okay, good. So maybe one of the things in pursuing sustainable happiness is not to get too attached to some external.
It's not sustainable,
So you made me remember that great curse that all of my good friends wrote in my yearbook in high school. You're a wonderful guy, don't ever change. And I, what could be worse? Always have zits. Always feel awkward, as you do here in high school. And in a funny way, life is just change. Happiness is accepting the change as it comes, I would guess.
Yeah, happiness in a way is accepting and also like really rolling with it. But also there are a few things I feel that we need to understand internally about the self to be able to really be happy. One is, I feel there always has to be self-progress. And people can call it goals and stuff. I don't like to call it goals. I like to call it self-progress for various reasons.
Because it's internal, is what
I'm hearing. Yes, it's internal. So there's progress going on. And then the other one is that there is attainment in life.
Or mastery of some sorts. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, or attainment, like attainment of peace. Attainment of happiness.
Yeah.
Attainment that you feel like you're attaining, that you're after, you're attaining things. And then there is contentment. And contentment is a very big thing, because if I really am content with whatever I have, so it might be like a, it seems not related, self-progress and contentment, because they seem diametrically opposite, but actually I feel they are.
Someone in this last week, I was in a conversation that if it weren't for being wanting things, and if it weren't for fear of loss of security, why would I ever work? And my answer was, maybe for the joy of working.
Right.
I mean, maybe because it gives you great pleasure. And in a funny way, I mean, I was just tossing out the possibility because we had two different value systems in that discussion, in that question and answer. But that attainment, that actually that matches with positive psychology, by the way. Feeling you're progressing towards something that is meaningful to you mm-hmm. is indeed what the positive psychologists are saying is an important thing, which
right.
goal setting sounds quite external, but internally, that I get up and meditate every morning.
Yeah.
And
I'm progressing in it. I'm
yes.
able to focus, I'm able to concentrate, that there's progress
right.
in my life.
Yeah. So that part of it is also, I suspect there's something in the attainment of knowledge that life makes a little more sense sometimes.
Yes, attainment of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the BK principles also?
Yes. Yeah. Knowledge is a very important yeah. part of it. Study.
Yeah.
Study is very much a part of life. The other part I was thinking was not only attainment and contentment, but also truly serving.
Uh-huh. Which, by the way, is positive psychologists support this altruism, generosity.
Mm-hmm.
So how did the BK serve?
In various ways, but yeah. one of the most important ways which the world needs right now,
yeah.
I feel service should be as needed. Mm-hmm. Whatever is needed at that time, that's what I should give. But right now, more than anything in the world, people need what we call service through the mind.
Mm-hmm.
That my thoughts are uplifting them. My thoughts
Very nice.
Are really holding people.
Right.
And it's called service through the mind, and we do it various ways.
Yeah.
Service through the mind. And so that, and I feel when we do really true service, like mm-hmm. I want to truly help someone, not because I'm fulfilling my own need, none of those things, I'm truly helping someone,
right.
I feel then also happiness really comes.
I think that's not only good, but I think that's rooted in modern psychology right now. Being of service also gives you a reason to feel good about yourself and to feel benevolent toward others, I would
yeah,
think.
Yeah.
You know, within that service, two things that popped in my head. One of them is service that you're giving is based on what's needed in the moment, because too often we fall into that old, I've got to be of service, so I'll drag the little old lady across the street to prove I'm a good Boy Scout. Service has to be something that someone is asking for, requiring, needing. The second thing that it reminded me of is some years ago, the Brahma Kumaris had the Images and Voices of Hope, which one
we
of the...
We still do, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, one of the goals of that was within media and news coverage, don't just report the awful stuff, but occasionally put something that's uplifting. And I happen to watch NBC, and I notice that they have something almost every time at the end of it that's uplifting. I don't know if that was supported in consciousness, it was enough people said we'd like that, good programming, or that consciousness support, I think, has to have helped. It
yeah,
has to continue to help.
Definitely. Even though you can't quantify the impact
yeah.
of service through the mind, I think it's a very, very important aspect of life. Because mm-hmm. people need, more than anything now, really, that kind of support through my strength, through my tranquility, they need support.
Aha. So this is an interesting thing, too, because as people are... this is a tough one. Wanting peace, let's say. But there's wanting peace from tranquility, or there's yearning for peace and needing it now. Mother Teresa was invited in the 60s to be in the protests. And she said, no, I'm not going to protest anything.
Yeah, but everyone does different forms
yeah.
of activism, right?
It's yeah.
not necessarily that they have to go out on the streets and do it. She did hers by helping whatever she was doing. And that's also a form of activism.
Yeah.
Sometimes meditation can be a form of activism.
My suggestion here is maybe it is the ultimate form of activism.
yeah.
Now, probably supporting with our donations and things like that also help.
Yeah.
But getting angry for peace, to me, is oxymoron.
Yes, two wrongs don't make a right.
Exactly.
Absolutely not. And I also was thinking about happiness about something. If I'm unhappy about something, I always feel there's some kind of alloy in the soul. Uh-huh. When I mean by alloy, is there's some kind of mixture in the soul. It's so inbuilt in the soul that I'm not able to distinguish what is me, the true me.
Got it.
And then what is...
what's artificial.
What's artificial. And I was thinking about four or five things in that. Mm-hmm. And one is this feeling of ego. Mm-hmm. And it's so... you think it's you, but it actually could be ego.
Uh-huh.
And I feel the way you can tell is if you get offended, if you're not consulted about something, or you know, you're not given your due regard or respect.
How dare they?
Yes, and then also this feeling of being insulted.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's two. And then the other one was, I was thinking jealousy, which is a very, very subtle thing. But jealousy can come in the form of comparison. Yeah. Jealousy can come in the form of competition. And most importantly, I feel when I'm jealous of someone, I don't want to learn from them.
Ah, yeah.
So if I know I'm resisting learning from someone, then there is that alloy that's not going to let me be happy.
Yeah.
And then there are a couple of others about being stubborn. All of those things. I feel these are very, very subtle things that we do in our everyday life that rob us of our happiness.
In some ways, the jealousy is to avoid loss of ego or loss of a person. In a relationship, jealousy is I don't want them to go with someone else, which is a pretty uncomfortable position, I would imagine. I've got 38 years of very happy marriage, so jealousy is something I haven't experienced in a long, long time. But it is a lacking of self. I'm not enough without, which is what you mentioned earlier, attachment to externals.
Yeah, right.
Also, not getting our due or not getting the respect is also an attachment to externals. That's asking someone else to give me my self-respect.
Exactly.
So maybe the happiness habit is to avoid comparison.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Competition. Criticism. Mm-hmm. I call them the deadly seas.
The deadly seas. You can drown in the deadly seas.
Yeah.
How interesting. Competition, comparison, criticism.
Conflict.
Uh-huh. It sounds like primetime television.
What, having those or not having
those?
Yeah,
having those is conflict and comparison. I mean, we've got Survivor, we've got Big Brother, we've got, I mean...
I have a confession to make.
You watch it all the time.
No, I don't have a TV, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't have a TV? Poor baby. I say that as a professor of mass communications. It probably does you good not to be dwelling in that strange world of...
Yeah, of so I really don't know when people say, oh, Dancing with the Stars, I'm like...
Yeah.
And it's interestingly enough, I feel I'm in a spot where I don't even have to pretend to know.
Yeah, I think that's good. I'll cover for you, don't worry on that. So within the area of living optimistically, I read this past week that optimists, happy people, tend to live longer. Now that was, in a funny way, surprise. Now, lest it sound like goodness is just rewarded, the researchers on this, their bottom line was, if we tend to be less optimistic, tend to be more stressed and unhappy, we participate in behaviors that shorten our lives. More apt to drink in excess, more likely to smoke, more likely to overeat.
Yeah, bad. Stress is very much related to...
Stress of itself will kill you.
Many of the physical ailments like heart disease and hypertension and all of those.
So there's real payoffs to this pursuing sustainable happiness,
yes,
really.
There is. And also I was thinking of one thing, is some faith is better than no faith. Faith in something.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jewish person, whether you're a Muslim person, whether you're a Hindu, whatever your faith is, to have faith in a higher power, faith in something that is going to give you that sustainability, I think, is very important.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, these are correlation studies, so it doesn't necessarily prove causation, but it certainly suggests causation, that having a place of worship, a church, a spiritual spot where you congregate with like-minded people is something that increases longevity and satisfaction within life. So I think you're right on target from a spiritual standpoint of what psychologists are saying, that that community that we build around us is important. Is there anything else?
I was thinking also hope.
Hope.
That hope should never die within us. Mm-hmm. That there's always hope. There's always hope. And remember many things when I was a kid wanting things and mm-hmm. I didn't get them and I was really unhappy. But now when I look back, I'm so glad I didn't get them. And so to really build on hope that there is hope, that even if you seem to be like in the worst space possible, mm-hmm. that there's hope.
That there is something better.
There's something better.
The interesting thing on that is it isn't exactly called hope, though some people use it that way, but it's a happiness expectation, which isn't that everything's going to turn out the way I want. It is that I will learn to do well with it, no matter what. In other words, everything will be grist for the mill. I will emerge. Nietzsche, who wasn't a great spiritual person, but truly a good thinker, said, "What doesn't kill us makes us stronger." And so within that, I think there's the belief, the trust, the hope that there is a better payoff down the road. Now, let me wrap up with one last question. Should we always base our happiness on what comes down the road, or should it be happiness now?
Obviously now, right? Because it's intrinsic to us, and we have to be.
So what we're not doing is sacrificing, pretending, swallowing pride, putting on this happy face artificially to say, well, I'm working at being happy. What we're really doing is letting go, trusting, and letting it flow. Is that right?
Yeah. Also, sometimes I feel there's no harm in faking it till you make it.
Ah-ha-ha.
In happiness.
Okay, let me give my reframe on that. Fake it till you make it, I think I'm faking. Believe it till you achieve it, really the same thing. Anyway, we're out of time, my friend. Thanks for making me a little happier with this discussion.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. I trust that went well.